All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. I want us to deal with a subject that the devil certainly does not desire for us to deal with, because anytime you tell the truth on the devil, you're telling something he does not want anyone to know. And we, tonight, as we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, we find in verse number 44, just going to read this one verse. This is at the end of a sort of a confrontation with the Pharisees that Jesus had with them. And he's talking about their father, and they said, "We are of our father Abraham." And the Lord said, "If you was of Abraham, you would know me." And later on, he says, "You do the deeds of your father." And their father was none other than the devil. And so verse number 44, here Jesus puts them really in the knowledge and gives them the facts and says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Here we find in verse number 44 the Lord Jesus Christ telling these Pharisees, and we have to remember that the Pharisees was the religious crowd. They were not only religious, they were fundamentalist. They were the folks that believed the every jot and tittle. They were the ones that they thought had everything just in order, but they had become so self-righteous and self-centered that they had lost sight of everybody else, and everybody else was far worse than they, and so they had a problem with this thing of pride. And down through the centuries, down through the periods of time, their traditions had become more important than the Word of God. We find that even in our own society today, there's a lot of religious societies, a lot of religious groups, that their traditions are much more important than the Scriptures. Even sometimes in our Baptist circles, we'll find we're very traditional people, and we'll go by tradition rather than the Scripture. And so the Lord confronted these folks, and they made accusations, and they wanted to kill the Lord. And he told them that if they were of Abraham's seed, spiritually speaking, they would have known who he was and would have followed him. But he says in verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." And so we find that the word and the speech of the Lord Jesus Christ to be understood had to be a spiritual understanding, just like he told Nicodemus that you must be born again. He was not talking of a physical birth. He was talking of the new birth, a spiritual birth. And then he tells them that ye are of your father, the devil, and tells us that he was a murderer from the very beginning, and he did not have the truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, because he speaks of himself, and he is a liar and the father of it. And so tonight I want us to think some things about this lie, or the many lies that the devil puts out that people do believe and they follow, which is none other than, and many of them just accept it face value, but it's nothing more than a lie from the wicked one, from Satan. Now we must remember that Satan in the very beginning was an anointed cherub or anointed angel. His name was Lucifer. At one time, that name was a good name. And he was the son of the morning. He was the keeper of the angels of glory, and sort of seems as though he took care of all the musical things of heaven. And he was a very, very beautiful being that was created of God. And the Bible says that he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity, or until pride, was found within him. And he said within himself, "I will be like God." That is the foundation of all false religions, that they want to be like God. They want to be like the true and the living God. And so, as he fell from heaven, and the Scripture says he took a third part of the stars with him, or the third part of the created angels with him, which became the demonic forces that we deal with in our day-to-day life and day-to-day encounter. Very few of us have ever encountered the devil. Now, we encounter his workers, we encounter his demons, we encounter the influence of the devil, but the devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time like the Lord is. And so very few have ever really encountered the devil himself, but he has his cohorts and his workers and those that come to us, and he feeds them and gives them everything that's needed in order for us to be confused, in order for many to take the word that he gives as truth and is nothing more than a lie. So I want us to think tonight about the lies that the devil tells and the lies that people believe, which if they would just check it out in the Scripture, there would be, of course, a true understanding. Now, the Bible tells us the devil is a deceiver. If someone is a deceiver, that means he clouds the truth and he makes it hard to see reality. And so if the devil is a deceiver, that means he's going to cloud the truth. And some of the best ways to do that is to mix truth with error. And just have a little bit of error with a little bit of truth. And some things are good and some things are bad. And but to find that those things that are false make the good parts also false. You take a glass of water and you put a little bit of strychnine or a little bit of some kind of poisoning in it. It may be just a touch, maybe just a pinch, but it'll destroy the whole cup. And that's what error does, or that's what the lie of the devil does as he deals with people. The devil tells people that, first of all, that there is no heaven. And a lot of people believe that. You go around the country, you go around even society, and not only around the world, but in our own country, you'll find that Satan has denied the very existence of the beautiful place called heaven and has tried every way in the world to educate people to the point of not believing or not accepting that there is a place. We have heard people say, well, heaven is a figment of someone's imagination, or heaven is the good things that we experience here upon this earth, and heaven is just something that people think about to make them feel better as they walk their life and as they do the things that they have to do and as they grow old and they have a hope of something out there that's better just to make them feel better. And the psychologists and those folks that deny the Scripture, they will try to tell us that there's no such place that's really a place of heaven. But my Bible tells me that Jesus said, and by the way, he never told a lie. And if the devil is the father of the lie, if everything he tells you is a lie, on the other side you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one of he is truth. And when he speaks truth. And Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And this wonderful place that is of the saved for the believer called heaven. When we study the Bible, when we see the Scriptures, we'll understand that Jesus talked about heaven many, many times. He talked about something that's out there ahead of us that's beautiful and a place of rest. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews that there's a place of rest for the child of God, and it's still there in the future. The ear has not heard all of it, the eye has not seen it, and the Scripture says it has not even entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those of us that love Him and those of us that follow after Him. But the devil says, no, no, that's just somebody's story, or that's somebody's fairy tale, or that's somebody's tradition. And he'll send out the lie. And it's amazing how many people believe the lie of the devil that there is no heaven. You talk to them, they'll have some ideas of some kind of regeneration or reincarnation. They'll have some kind of idea of how they can escape this awful place of death and have a hope of something different. And out at the end of life, there's a tunnel, and you see the bright light, and they'll have all kind of things to be said except what the Scripture gives. Isn't it amazing how easy it is to believe a lie and how hard it is to accept the truth? And that's even with mankind. That's with all of us. It's much easier. That's our human nature. It's much easier for us to accept something that's false than it is something that is true. And the Scripture, the Bible, gives us all kind of indications. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so there we began. And when we come down to the end of it in Revelation, heaven and earth are destroyed, that physical heaven, physical earth. But there's a place awaiting for the child of God, for those of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we study our Bibles, we find that there is a place called heaven. There is a place that's desirable for people to go. And when we die, I'm glad we don't die just like a dog. I'm glad we don't die just like an animal. We have a soul, and the breath of God came into man, and he became a living soul, and he will live somewhere forever and forever. But the devil will also tell folks that there's no hell. Well, if there's no heaven, surely there's no hell. There's question mark if there is a heaven or if there is a hell. And so the devil will have his activity and he'll tell people that hell again is just an imaginary story. Why God, as loving as he is, would not send someone to hell? How many times you heard that? God would not send someone to hell because he's a loving God and he desires that everyone go to heaven. Yes, that's his desire. And he is his desires for people to hear the gospel, but he does not want people to die and go to hell. And the devil will use that particular thought and bring us to the point of, well, there's just not a place called hell. There's religious organizations that will tell you point blank, no such place as hell. There are religions, there are churches that will tell you when a man or a woman, boy or girl dies, when they die, they're just dead. And it's all over, and there's nothing else out there for them. But usually, if it's a religious group, they do believe in heaven because they want the good thing. They want the happiness. They want the joy. But they don't want to talk about hell because they just cannot accept and cannot believe the things of the Word of God, but they believe the devil's lie. Now, remember, Jesus told these Pharisees that your father is a liar, and when he speaks, he is lying every time he talks. He says here that when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's not just a liar, but he's the beginner. He's the foundation. I'm glad my foundation of my soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation that the devil has is that he is a liar. Everything about him is connected with lying and disruption and disputing and going against the things. The Bible gives us an actual account of a man that lifted up his eyes in hell, but yet the devil says, well, that's just a story. That's just a parable. That doesn't mean that it's true. Well, if it is a parable always is a story that reveals truth. I don't believe the rich man Lazarus there in Luke 16. I do not in any way believe that's a parable. I believe there's a literal man, a literal story, and a literal man went to hell, and a literal man went to Abraham's bosom. I believe that's an incident that took place. But if it was a parable, it still reveals the same truth that we believe, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. It still reveals to us that there is a place for the ungodly, there is a place for the unredeemed. There's a place for those that reject the Savior, and then thank God there is a place for the redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us time and time again the illustrations and the stories of heaven and hell. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. If there is a hell, there is a heaven. The Bible says, and Paul teaches us that the wage of sin is death. That death brings about eternal death. The other side of it, there's a gift of God that brings about eternal life. And so we find that the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, will reprove a person of their ungodliness, that the Holy Spirit will bring about conviction upon soul, and the Holy Spirit will enlighten the minds as much as the devil tries to darken and tries to defeat and tries to tear down. The Holy Spirit can break those bonds. But the devil goes about his day and about his time upon this earth, and everything he does is a disputer against truth. He is a liar. Now, a person that is a liar, or an individual, the devil that is a liar, that means he lies. It's not just once or twice, but his whole activity is built on the foundation of untruths. The reason the world is in such a condition tonight is because religions have been built upon untruth, untruth statements, false doctrine, false statements, ungodly ideas. And the reason we have all the commotion in the world today is because the devil is a liar. Well, he told Adam and Eve, you can eat what God told you you couldn't eat. God knew when you did that, you'd be like Him. Now, the devil lied to them. From the very beginning, he's a liar. And all through the Scripture, he's a liar. All through my life and all through your life, he's a liar. He's not told you one fact that's true. He may give you little indications of things, but mixed in with that is some things that he'll try to trick you and deceive you and bring about destruction to you, first of all, to your soul. And then when the person gets saved, he'll try to destroy your testimony, try to destroy your life, and try to trick you on every way. But there is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible is very, very clear. It just really all of this comes down to, do we believe the Bible? Do we believe the book? Do we believe the Scripture? Another thing that he will tell everybody, saved and lost, that there is no harm. You can do what you want to do and it'll be okay. If it feels good, go ahead. You're going to be okay. You can believe what you want to believe and there's no danger in that. There's no harm. You can live the way you want to live and you can interpret the Scripture. By the way, nowhere in the Bible are we told that we are to interpret the Word of God. We are to believe the Word of God. We are to accept it. The interpretation is left up to the Word of God itself. And so the devil will come along and he'll convey this thought that it really doesn't matter. He'll tell you, time doesn't matter. You've got plenty of time to do what you want to do. Time doesn't matter at all. There's no harm, and there's nothing that will hurt you. And just live your life and have a good time, and you can come to God some other time. But a lot of people did that, and they never came to God. Because the Bible tells us sometimes the heart becomes hardened by sin. And sometimes, even though the Spirit of God will come and knock upon a heart's door and break their wheels and lets them know, yet they refuse the grace of God. But the devil say, that'll never happen to you. That'll never happen to me. That'll never happen to my family. That'll never happen to me at all. There's no harm in doing what is wrong. He's a master of teaching people that right is wrong. And he's a master of teaching people that wrong is right. Isaiah says, woe to that person that takes things that are right and calls them good, or bad, and things that are bad and calls them good. That's the master deception of the wicked one. That's the way he acts. That's the way his operation is. First of all, there's no heaven. Secondly, there's no hell. Thirdly, there's no harm. Just live your life. That's okay, because live life today, for tomorrow you may die. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live the things and do what you want to do and experience what you want to experience. And a lot of people have done that and have ruined their lives. A lot of people have lived that way and ruined the life that is ahead of them. Some foolish idea or some foolish action. Some foolish taking in the body of something. And all of a sudden everything in their life has changed because of something they believed that was a lie. Well, you can have fun, still be all right. You can do okay. You can have fun what the world gets. Oh, no. Remember now, he's a liar. Remember, he's a master of deception. He's the master that will tell you without any idea in his own way or that you would understand. He's a master of making something that's bad look good. And something that looks good to turn away from. It's not going to harm you, but the Scripture teaches that a wise man will follow what the Scripture gives. The Bible tells us that, Proverbs tells us that sin will do harm to our soul, and the Holy Spirit will deal with us and will reprove us of ungodliness, and sin will kill the sinner and deadens the life of a sinner, and sin may thrill and sin will then kill. All because that individual believes a lie. When the Lord told these Pharisees that they were of their father the devil, he says in verse number 45, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." He's a liar. You're going to believe him. I tell you truth and you won't believe me. The Jew accepted or rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and somewhere down in the future they're going to accept the Antichrist. They rejected the Messiah and they'll take the false Messiah. Why? Because they believe the deception and they follow the lie of the devil. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to corruption in his life, he's going to reap corruption and sometimes even destruction. The devil tells us there's no hell, tells us there's no heaven, tells us there's no way out, and tells us there's no harm. And then fourthly, the devil will tell you there's no help. He even tells you and I that. You see, just because we get saved does not mean that he does not lie to us continually still. He'll tell us there's no help. When we get in trouble, he'll say there's nobody cares about you. You ever had those thoughts? Have you ever had an idea in your life, well, nobody really cares about me. I'm going through this and so-and-so knows it and they don't really care about me. You know what that is? That's nothing more than the wicked one filling your heart and your mind with his deception. Because if we are born again, if we are Christians, we do care. And sometimes we do not show it as we should, but we do care. But he says there's no help. Satan will make the lost think there's no help for them. Some will come to you and say, I've sinned away my day of grace. And by the way, if they're still breathing, living, there is a chance, there is a hope. I don't know when what takes place. All I know is God tells me to go and tell the world Jesus saves. Somebody says, well, there's a line out there that a man steps over. Yes, but I don't know where the line is, and so I need to tell everybody. Well, some will say, well, there's just a certain few that get saved. Well, if that's true, I don't know who the few is, so I just need to tell everybody. And so the Scripture tells us, and the devil will say, there's no help, and I've gone too far, and I've done too much, and I've sinned too many things, and I've gone too far away from God, and God will never save me. That's a lie of the devil. As long as a person is living and breathing and has his facilities about him, he can call upon the Lord, and you know what will happen? He'll get saved. But he will in no wise cast them out. He'll always do what he said he would in his word. Jesus offers the invitation to the weary, to the heavy-hearted, to the burdened and the laden with sin. He says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But the devil says, no, there's no rest. The devil says, there's no help, there's no hope. But the Lord says, oh, but there is. When Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem, that city that had rejected him and refused him, the Bible says Jesus wept. He wept over that city because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He saw them as those that had followed after the Pied Piper that had given them the false ideas that he was ungodly. And they had rejected him. And they said, let his blood be on our hands and our children's 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 hands. And Jesus looked over the city and wept. You see, the Holy Spirit convinces men that they're lost. Only way I got saved, the only way you have gotten saved is that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your condition. He lets you know, guess what he does? He lets you know the truth about yourself. The devil says you're okay. The devil says you have plenty of time. And the Lord opens up the door, opens up the gate, and opens up the mirror of the Word of God, and he tells us the truth about ourselves, and we find out that we're poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind, and we're ungodly, and we have needs that God can supply. And so the Holy Spirit convinces the lost. And the Holy Spirit will convict the lost of his helpless condition, and he will convince them that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves. You see, that's the truth. And the devil said, nah, he won't do that. How many times we deal with people and have dealt with folks and tried to tell them that there is help for the sinner. Thank God there is help. Not only is there help, but thank God there's hope. The devil says, hopeless. Why, there's nothing a person can do. Satan will convince the lost that there's no hope for them. They'll die and go to hell. Nothing can be done to salvage their life. But there is hope. hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight we have hope. There's no other hope than in Him. He is the one. Many are doomed without hope because of the rejection, but it's because they believe the lie. It's because they have not accepted the truth of God's Word. And Satan wants all the company that he can get to be in hell with him, the lake of fire. And when they get there, he'll mock and make fun of them because they believed his lie. These folks that Jesus were talking to, if they stayed in their condition, they died. And guess what? Tonight they're in hell. And they realized Jesus told them the truth. Ah, we are of our father Abraham. And Jesus said, no, if you were of Abraham, you would know who I am. Because Abraham knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew about Messiah. But what had happened to these folks is that they had believed the lie of their father. A person that is lost, his father, is the devil. Now, people don't like to hear that. People don't like to think about that. But every lost person's father is the devil. Because to that point, they have believed the lie. And Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. And so, he'll tell us there's no heaven, no hell, no help, no hope. All these things. But we know that the Scripture says there is hope. All through the Scripture, all through the Bible, we find the Gospel giving us hope. Hope in a tree. Hope in the crucifixion, hope in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not willing, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge. And so there is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. There is salvation for the lost. The Holy Spirit will convict that lost person of his sin, and He'll show him his need, and He'll present hope. You know, when folks hear a diagnosis that seems to be hopeless, nothing can be done, I'm glad the Lord is there to help and to take care, and that there is a day coming that He will take care of the needs that we have. And then thank the Lord for those whom the Lord has chosen to heal, and there is hope. You see, no, there's no case too hard for God. There's no case too far away. And just like there's no sinner too far. Just like there's no one too far that God cannot reach, He can reach way down and pick up the sinner and set his feet upon a foundation that's solid and give him a song. But the devil says, no, there's no hope. The devil says, there's nothing can be done. You've done too much. You've gone too far. You've said too much. Your activities have been so wicked, there's no hope. I'm glad this book says there's hope. There is hope. And then another lie, we could go on and on. Another lie the devil tells is, and he gets many people with this one. I mean, he can tell some folks there's no hell and they'll believe it. But when they have any idea about the Scripture, they know there is a hell. He can tell some people that there's no heaven, and some of them will believe it. He can tell some people there's no hope, and there's no help. And some of them will believe that. But he can tell all of us that there is no hurry. And many people will believe that. I can do what I want to do. I have plenty of time. I can live my life. And when I'm old and when I get older, I'll turn to God and I'll do. You see, the problem is I don't have any much control over what I do. Oh, I mean to do good things, but I can't do them. I mean to come to God, but I'm not in any hurry. How many people I personally have talked to and said, well, preacher, not now. I've got so many things to do. And the teenagers say, I've got life to live. The young married couple, I've got things I've got to do. I've got to work and get all these things together. And the middle-aged couple says, well, not right now because we're doing things and we're busy. And the retired couple says, well, I've lived this long without it. I don't need it. No hurry. I'll do it before I die. Only problem is, we don't know when we're going to die. Well, I'll get right before. Well, we don't know about that. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, when my appointment comes up, I'll guarantee you, it will be kept. The doctor may take your appointment and call you. I've had them do it, and so have you. The doctor's out of town, we're going to have to make another appointment. So you go through that. Or there'll be a time when, well, something's come up, so I have to call them and say, well, I can't make my appointment. But I'll guarantee you there's one appointment out there that we all will keep. It's appointed to man to die. And he's going to die. And the devil says, yeah, but not right now. He told Adam and Eve that. Why? The Lord said, God said, you're not going to die. He didn't find out. They didn't die physically right then, but immediately they died spiritually. He lied to them. He lies to us. And he lies to others. Because when he speaks a lie. When he talks, when he gives you thoughts and gives you ideas, he gives you lies because he's the father of it. And so, if everything else fails, the devil will try to get you to put off until later. Well, I'll do it some other time. I've seen folks under conviction of the Lord and not come to be saved, and then you never see them again. I've seen people come in this building and be under conviction of the Lord time and time and time again. But there comes a time when they say no, and then they never come back to that point again. I'm thinking of a person right now that I can see in my mind's eye that I believe with all my heart they came to a point of saying no that last time. Concerned, convicted, but they believed a lie and said, well, not right now. See, we have this idea, and religion has put it up on us, and the devil just feeds it, that I can get saved whenever I want to. That's a lie straight out of the devil's mouth. You cannot get saved when you want to. You get saved when God speaks to you. Well, I'll get saved next week. Well, you won't unless he speaks to you. I used to preach that every time the message of God is preached, he speaks to people, but some people he don't speak to all the same time, same way. And so we don't just choose. Just like I didn't choose to be born a Richardson, I cannot choose the day I die, and I could not choose the day I got saved. I accepted him because I believed him, but I didn't say, well, I'll wait till whatever date it was. And that's a lie that comes straight from the devil. There's no hurry. You can be saved when you get ready. You can do it when you feel like. You can do it when you've sown all your wild oats. You've heard all those things. Only thing, sometimes the thing we sow kills us before we get saved. And so the devil comes along and says, you got plenty of time. He may tell the young person, very susceptible, may tell the young person, ah, you got a lot of time to live. But you can go to cemetery after cemetery and you find a lot of young people. A few weeks ago I went and hadn't been to where my grandfather and grandmother are buried over in eastern Kentucky, and we went by there, and been a long time. I just barely remember him, didn't even know her. But we walked through that cemetery, and then I found out there's another cemetery that's called Richardson Cemetery. So that sort of keyed my appetite, and I found the thing. It on the backside of nowhere. I drove by this house, and it had Richardson on the door. I said, well, surely they won't shoot me when they find out I'm one. And I said, do you know where that cemetery is? And she said, oh, yes, my husband's grandfather's buried there, and she told us how to get there. It was at the end of the road. When you got there, you were done. You talk about a cemetery being the end of the road, that was the end of the road, buddy. And I got out there and I started looking at old tombstones. Have no idea who they were or if they were even relatives. But I don't know how many stones we saw, some of them 9, 10, 12 years old, some of them 2 and 3 year old, just a lot of them. So it doesn't matter. Life is so brief. And the devil says, You got plenty of time, fella. Do what you want to do. It's okay. It's not going to harm you. It's not going to hurt you. Well, there's no heaven or hell anyway. That's all of his lies rolled up into one. But the truth of the matter is, all those things are lies. And there is a hurry. There is a anxiousness. And there is a desire that we reach people before they fall as the wheat to the ground. He told his disciples, look on the fields of white and the harvest. Don't say there's yet 3 months, because right now is the time of harvest. The harvest can be lost. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that if we hear his voice, harden not our hearts. So it doesn't matter if we're old or young, middle-aged or elderly, doesn't matter. Time clicks along for all of us, and there's an appointment out there. I have an appointment. I don't know where it is and when it is. Last year at Camp Caden, there was an elderly preacher there. He's 96 years old. He said, the Lord hadn't told me where I'm going to die. He said, if he'd tell me, I just won't go there. I thought, that's pretty good reasoning. He said, if he'll just tell me where it will be, he said, I will not go there. But we don't have that capability. But there's a time. And may we never believe the lie of the devil and say we got plenty of time. A lot of times Christians say, well, I'll serve God later. I'll serve God when everything's fit. No, I'll serve God now. Just like now is the day of salvation, now is the day of service. You can't put off. Do it now. The longer the devil gets us to put off things, the more he knows we'll not do it. Because time will catch us. The death angel will overtake us. And we'll leave our life undone. That is the great lie of the wicked one, Satan. And remember, every time he speaks, he lies. Every time he speaks, he tells truth. And it's in the Word of God. May God help us to serve him, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be what we should be right now, in the nasty now where we live, that we can be found to be faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.